The Fifth World Water Forum, being held in Turkey, has the slogan, Bridging Divides for Water. Yet the conference is organized by a corporate-led group whose members stand accused of creating, and then profiting from, limiting access to water. Those corporations include Coca-Cola, Nestle, PepsiCo, and the French multinational Suez. Support for a human right to water is being kept out of the forum's final statement. Meanwhile, activists peacefully protesting outside the World Water Forum have been tear-gassed, jailed, and deported.
Police say 21-year-old Eric Montagnez with the group Food Not Bombs broke the law by feeding more than 25 people as Orlando's ordinance allows.
Not against the law to feed people, and as much as they want to criminalize the help of the homelessness.
Undercover officers worked surveillance and counted how many people Montagnez fed, 30. So Orlando police say they are simply enforcing the laws.
Montagnez faces a misdemeanor charge for feeding a large group in a city-owned park, and according to police, no organization had obtained the required permit.
Let us look back at last week in Radical Efforts, and the following is This Week in Radical History for the week starting March 23rd.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes.
This week in Radical History for March 23rd, 1842, Congressman Giddings of Ohio is censured by the House of Representatives for introducing resolution opposing slavery and coastal slave trade. The gag rule, first adopted by self-dominated Congress in 1836, pledges every member not to mention slavery issue on the floor of the House. Let freedom ring.
On this day, March 23rd in 1889, U.S. President Benjamin Harrison declared that in 1 month's time, on April 22nd, vast amounts of land in the Oklahoma Territory would be open for settlers to claim homesteads upon. Oklahoma was initially set aside as a destination for Native Americans who were forcibly evicted or coerced from their ancestral lands east of the Mississippi. The opening of Oklahoma created what was called a land rush as prospective homesteaders stampeded across the state line at the prescribed hour.
Also March 23rd, 1967 in Bolivia, Che Guevara's guerrilla group experienced its first battle of the Bolivian campaign. The U.S.-backed Bolivian president appeals to the nation to, quote, join the fight against the foreign and local anarchists with arms and money from Castro's communists, unquote. Also 1970, President Nixon declares a national emergency, orders 30,000 troops to New York City to break the postal wildcat strike.
In 1982, a coup occurred in Guatemala, replacing the democratically elected president with a military commander, Efren Rios Montt. Montt was a graduate of the U.S. military terrorist training school facility called the School of the Americas in Columbus, Georgia. And like scores of other graduates of that fine institution, Montt waged a campaign of assassinations and torture against his opposition and labor leaders in Guatemala. He especially targeted Guatemala's Mayan population, and according to a UN report, Montt was responsible for the killing of more than 10,000 Guatemalans and the destruction of some 600 villages. And those are just some of the events in world history that took place on this day, March 23rd. This Day in History is a production of the Daybird Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
Proving once again that America was not founded on religious freedom but intolerance, as of on this day on March 24th, 1661, Willie Ledra is executed. His crime? Being a Quaker.
What say you, good people?
Also on March 24th, 1977, an Argentinian author, Rodolfo Walsh, writes an open letter to the U.S.-backed military junta in regards to its crimes. A day later, the dictatorship assassinates him. His body and some writings will never be seen again. Also on this date in 1978, the Wampanoag claims to land in Cape Cod is dismissed by U.S. District Court in Boston because they had no tribal status in 1869. Tribal status is finally granted to them 9 years later, without most of their Cape Cod lands. Also on March 24, 1988 in Israel, after a secret seven-month trial, an employee in a bomb-making factory is convicted of espionage for revealing details of the Israeli atomic weapons program to the London Sunday Times. His revelations show Israel nuclear capability to the greater extent than experts assumed, and that Israel could build up to 200 atomic bombs as well as neutron and hydrogen bombs. He got 18 years in prison, and 10 years later, in 1998, he's allowed out of solitary confinement for the first time. To this date, Israel has still not signed the U.S.-touted nuclear arms agreement forced on other nations, let alone admitting they have nukes at all. More U.S. double standards. Last on this date in 2003, Michael Moore in Hollywood Doghouse, following last night's Academy Awards for denouncing President Bush and his war on the Iraqi people. Moore was roundly booed and jeered by the bulk of Hollywood's finest patriots. Liberal Hollywood? Yeah, right. This week in radical history for March 25th, 1812 in Russia, anarchist sympathizer Alexander Herson lives in Moscow. Journalist, political writer, novelist, influenced by revolution and the French socialism, took an active part in the revolution of 1848 in Paris and Rome, and founded the influential newspaper The Bell in London. Also March 25th, 1873, Rudolf Rocker lives. American immigrant Rudolf Rocker was an anarcho-syndicalist, theorist, organizer, and anti-fascist. He became deeply involved in the Jewish anarchist movement, author of important works including Nationalism and Culture. Part of the book he describes the emergence and development of religion. Rocker claims religion has enslaved its very creator, man, since man must submit itself to the mysterious powers over which he cannot control. He also implies that this criticism to modern-day politics. According to Nationalism and Culture, man is submitted to an all-powerful state just as he is to an all-powerful God. Thus, Rocker claims, quote, "We arrive at the very foundation of every system of rulership and recognize that all politics in its last instant religion, and that such ties hold the spirit of man in chains of dependence." Rudolf Rocker. Also on this date in 1911, the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire. The Triangle Shirtwaist Company, occupying the top 10 floors of a building in New York City, is consumed by fire. 147 people, mostly women and young girls, ages between 13 and 23, in working sweatshop conditions, lose their lives. Approximately 50 died as they leaped from windows of the street, and others burned or trampled to death, desperately trying to escape via stairwell's exit, illegally locked to prevent the interruption of work. Company owners are charged with 7 counts of manslaughter, but are found not guilty. A lot more happened in this day in 1916. Ishi dies. He's the last known Native American tribesperson to come out of the wilderness. After his last holdouts of his tribe, his mother and sister ran away from white settler surveyors. He would never see them again. And after a couple of years of loneliness in the California wilderness, he decides to come into a town. For a good book on the life of Ishi, read Ishi in Two Worlds.
Moloch, who entered my soul early! Moloch, in whom I am a consciousness without a body! Moloch, whom I abandon! Wake up in Moloch! Light streaming out of the sky!
On this date in 1955, Moloch. U.S. Customs confiscate Moloch. 520 copies of Allen Ginsberg's Howl as they enter the U.S. It'll then be published by City Lights Publishers in San Francisco. 1 year later on this date, the government seizes more copies printed at City Lights and charge a publisher with violating obscenity laws. Let freedom ring.
I'm with you in Rockland, where you will split the heavens of Long Island and resurrect your living human Jesus from the superhuman tomb. I'm with you in Rockland, where there are 25,000 mad comrades all together, singing the final stanzas of the Internationale. I'm with you in Rockland, where we hug and kiss the United States under our bedsheets, the United States that quaffs all night and won't let us sleep. I'm with you in Rockland, where we wake up electrified out of the coma by our own souls, airplanes roaring over the roof. They've come to drop angelic bombs. The hospital illuminates itself. Imaginary walls collapse. Oh, skinny legions, run outside! Oh, starry-spangled shock of mercy! The eternal war is here! Oh, victory, forget your underwear. We're free. I'm with you in Rockland. In my dreams, you walk, dripping from a sea journey on the highway across America in tears to the door of my cottage in the western night.
Lastly, for March 25th, 1965, Martin Luther King Jr. leads 25,000 into Montgomery, completing civil rights march begun in Selma. After a week-long struggle against local police, the Civil Rights March ends triumphantly with 50,000 people demonstrating. Martin Luther King would say, "The question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of extremists will we be? The nation and the world are in dire need of creative extremists."
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, March 26, in 1790, the United States Naturalization Law of 1790 went into effect. This act provided the first guidelines for granting U.S. citizenship. One of these guidelines specified that citizens must be free white people, excluding Native Americans, indentured servants, slaves, free African Americans, and later Asian Americans. It is legislation like this that has historically allowed groups of marginalized white people, such as Irish and Italian Americans, to reap the benefits of whiteness while simultaneously maintaining the oppression of people of color. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also March 26, 1804, first official notice to Indians from the U.S. government that all Indians must move west of the Mississippi River. Also on this date in 1910, Congress bars pulpers, anarchists, criminals, and the disease from the country, with the Immigration Act of 1907 being amended. In 1918, an anarchist draft resister, Philip Grosser, reports from Alcatraz prison that he and the opponents of the World War I were being tortured. Meanwhile, Minneapolis is the scene of the first so-called slacker raid, a dragnet of men without draft cards. During World War I, the raid seized more than 4,000 non-registered across the country. On July 15, 1919, the War Department announces that it has classified more than 337,000 American men as draft dodgers. So much for the idea of the good war. Also on this date in 1969, John and Yoko start the 7-day bed in against the Vietnam War. This week in radical history for March 27, 1814, Massacre at Topeka, the Horseshoe Band. General Andrew Jackson overwhelms Creek forces. To count the dead, whites cut off their noses, piling 557 of them, and skin the bodies and tan the hides for souvenirs. Also on March 27, 1909, Wally Nelson, tax resister and nonviolent activist, lives, a Massachusetts farmer and conscientious objector who has refused income tax payments for over 50 years. People, the time's
come. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, March 27th, in 1969, the first National Chicano Youth Liberation Conference was held. This conference gave way to a document called El Plan Espiritual de Aztlán, which laid out the cultural, social, and political ideas and goals of the Chicano movement. The Chicano movement was born from the Mexican-American community who organized and resisted economic slavery, political exploitation, ethnic and cultural psychological destruction, and the denial of civil and human rights. Wouldn't that make you want to fight too? Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it.
Last day in 1986, the U.S. Senate approves $100 million for right-wing Nicaragua Contras while cutting domestic programs, including slashing welfare benefits. The gas oil Pentagon junta running the White House will soon scare up a new boogeyman.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, March 28th, in 1860, the Battle of Huareca began. This battle was part of the First Taranaki War, which was a land conflict that broke out between the indigenous Maori people and the British settlers in New Zealand. Although the British were badly defeated in this war, this victory for the Maori was only a small part of the larger New Zealand land wars, in which huge areas of land were stolen from the Maori. A treaty signed back in 1840 had guaranteed Maori tribes undisturbed possession of their lands, but the British had more military power and obviously more greed. You know their MO, only honor a treaty while it's convenient for you. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also on March 28, 1915, dubbed the most dangerous woman in the world, anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman is arrested for telling the audience how to use contraceptives. She chooses 15 days in jail over a $100 fine. Also on March 28, 1932 in Madrid, Spanish anarchists begin burning monasteries and so starts the Spanish Civil War. Also on this date in 1970 in England, time bomb found under Waterloo Station, one of many attacks in England and France during this year, some believed attributed to the Angry Brigade or similar guerrilla anarchist groups. Lastly, on this date in 1976, organized crime, the FBI, the largest and highest U.S. police agency, discloses it burglarized the Socialist Party 92-plus times between 1960 and 1966. And it only took them 10 years to tell the truth.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Hannah George. On this day, March 29th in 1847, Mexican forces surrendered at Veracruz, and the U.S. flag was raised. American troops then continued to march inland, eventually capturing Mexico City and ending the two-year Mexican-American War. America then established the Rio Grande River as the U.S.-Mexican border, and in the process gained control of Texas, California, Nevada, Utah, as well as parts of Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, and Wyoming. Although the Mexicans living in these territories were offered citizenship, they continued to face widespread oppression. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Two more items for March 29th, 1918, Wisconsin news. Amid growing war hysteria, 300 University of Wisconsin students pack Madison's Turner Hall to disrupt the talk by Socialist Party National Secretary Adolf Germer, who appears on behalf of U.S. Senate candidate Victor Berger. Adolf Germer, like Berger, expresses his opposition to World War I on many occasions. The UW students are armed with overripe fruit, a pot of tar, a sack of feathers. Seeing the hostile audience, Germer forsakes Berger and the anti-war movement and gives a talk on socialism instead. Immediately after Germer's talk off stage, the students, all good patriots, take over the meeting, shove him back on stage, and order him to swear an oath of allegiance to the United States. Let freedom ring. Last end of state in 1951, great U.S. injustice and state-sanctioned murder. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg are convicted of selling U.S. atomic secrets to the USSR. The case was pockmarked with glaring inconsistencies, and the chief evidence against them was the testimony of Ethel's brother, a convicted co-conspirator. But it was their fate to be tried during the height of McCarthyism. At this time, the government knew that Ethel had nothing to do with any conspiracies, but would not release this information in fear of jeopardizing their state secret wiretap ability. The government let Ethel, a U.S. citizen, die instead of revealing this secret to the defense.
This is where we are, the Zapatista National Liberation Army. The voice that arms itself to be heard. The face that hides itself to be seen. The name that hides itself to be named. The red star would call out to humanity and the world to be heard, to be seen, to be named. To be harvested in the past. Behind our black mask, behind our Arctic voice, behind our unnameable name, behind us, who you see, behind us, we are you.
I'm
Quickly, This Week in Radical History has been produced at the Mobile Fortress of Glee Glee Studios. Thanks again to the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York and the Neighborhood Network of Columbus, Ohio, whose audio I've gently lifted for their show. You're listening to Holy 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 right now, and they're starting their tour this week. Check them out this coming up weekend in New York and again during New York Anarchist Book Fair in April, as well as so many locations in between. Again, that's Holy Holy Holy. Got to bolt. Always remember and never forget, I am eternally yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
Nameless.